Oppenheimer's defense of Bernard Peters, the hydrogen bomb debate, and several of Oppenheimer's other atomic policy positions. Morgan and Evans indicated their agreement, and Dr. Evans specifically commented that Oppenheimer certainly was guilty of very bad judgment. Upon his return from a 10-day recess, therefore, Gray was shocked to learn that Dr. Evans had penciled a draft dissent supporting Oppenheimer. Gray had thought Evans disposed from the beginning to rule that Oppenheimer's clearance should not be reinstated. Evans had told him privately that in his experience, almost without exception, those who turned up with subversive backgrounds and interests were Jewish. Bluntly put, Gray thought Evans' anti-Semitism would prejudice his judgment. Throughout the month-long proceedings, Gray noted, my impression grew that both of my colleagues were pretty well committed to a view. But now, upon his return from Chicago, Dr. Evans clearly had undergone a complete reversal of view. Evans said he had simply reviewed the record and decided that there was nothing new in the charges. The FBI thought someone had gotten to him.
Strauss became frantic when he learned of this development.
He and Rob had wiretapped Oppenheimer's lawyers. They had blocked Garrison's attempt to get a security clearance. They had ambushed witnesses with classified documents. They had prejudiced the Gray panel with hearsay evidence from the FBI files, and despite all their efforts to assure a guilty verdict, now it seemed possible that Oppenheimer would be exonerated.
Fearing that Evans might influence one of the two other panel members, Strauss called Rob. The two men agreed that something had to be done, and Rob, with Strauss' approval, called the FBI and asked for Hoover's intercession.
Rob told Bureau agent C.E. Henrich that he thought it extremely important that the director discuss this matter with the board. Rob said that he feels it will be a tragedy if the decision of the board goes the wrong way and that he considers this a matter of extreme urgency.
Almost at the same moment, Strauss was on the phone to A.H. Belmont, one of Hoover's personal assistants, begging him to get the director to intervene.
He said things were touch and go, and that a slight tip of the balance would cause the board to commit a serious error. Agent Henrich observed,
"This all boils down, it seems to me, to a situation where Strauss and Rob, who want the board to make a finding that Oppenheimer is a security risk, are doubtful that the board will find so at this point. It is my feeling that the director should not see the board."
Any such intervention on Hoover's part would have been considered highly prejudicial if it ever became public, and Hoover knew it. He told his aides, "I think it would be highly improper for me to discuss the Oppenheimer case." He would not see the Gray board.